The book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and we're moving to chapter 9 this evening, and this is one of the great stories of conversion, the Apostle Paul from Saul of Tarsus, Saul the sinner to Paul the preacher. And may the Lord minister to us as we look at these first 22 verses in Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For, behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher calling all Canadians back to the Bible. We forget the wonder of the new birth experience. We lose sight of the power of inner change that takes place in a person's heart when they are regenerated by the Spirit of God. The Bible is very clear that it is real, life-changing, and lasting. Today's case study is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. It is not uncommon to hear even atheists and agnostics speak of someone having a road to Damascus experience. They usually mean that someone cleaned up their life and turned away from some bad habit. But gospel conversion is very much more. It is the life of God coming into the soul of man. The old house that was vacant, full of cobwebs and lifeless, is now inhabited again. There is warmth, there is light, there is joy and gladness where there was only death. In the case of Saul of Tarsus, the gospel turned the greatest persecutor of Christians to become the greatest evangelist and church planter of the New Testament. One atheist went to study the life of Paul, seeking to document all that was fiction. He returned after the most thorough research to declare that there was indeed such an apostle, and he himself became a convert to Christ and to Christianity. If you were to thoroughly study the Apostle Paul's life, you will never be the same again. At least you will never say that he was not changed, and you will have to agree that he had a conversion that changed or turned him around 180. That's what you need to be saved and right with God. You don't need just a leg up in your religious attempts. You need to be changed in heart, mind, and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need to be converted. Hear then the message from Acts chapter 9 on the conversion of Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle.
If ever there's a time when a preacher is called upon to preach on familiar things, here we are. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus is one of the great events of the New Testament. The man who wrote 14 books of the New Testament, more than half, is now before us as an enemy of the Lord. But by the power of the living Savior, is turned from an enemy to an evangelist of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, this is the same Saul who stood watching the death of Stephen, and he held the coats of others, and he did not cry out nor protest. And then, after things heated up, he now becomes a frontline champion of persecution. He goes to the elders of the cities and he seeks to find a mandate, authority, to go up to Damascus, which is about 140 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And it was a gateway. It was one of the old cities of the world where all roads met. And if Christians thrived there, they could reach the world. If Christians were stomped out there, it could be prevented. And so this was a critical time, and as we know, Saul was madly, with blood-curdling threats, seeking to persecute Christians. Now, Saul was born approximately 10 A.D. That is when Jesus was a boy of 10 years old. Here was Saul of Tarsus born into the world. We know that he grew up in Judaism. He was a select candidate for the school of Gamaliel, and he was taught everything possible in Judaism and Phariseeism. He was very proud of his religion. And Saul of Tarsus was one of the big enemies, intellectually and also with this authority to persecute. And of course, many feared him to the point that when he was converted and the news got out that he was now a Christian, people could hardly believe it. That's a mighty conversion. Could you imagine someone in Cloverdale, one of the big sinners in Cloverdale, suddenly converted, and he's coming to prayer meetings, and he's praying in prayer meetings, and he's going around telling people that he's been born again? People would say, well, we'll give him 6 weeks. That's what they did to me when I was converted. They gave me 6 weeks, and they thought I'll be back to the old things again. Well, praise God, Saul of Tarsus did not go back. He went on from strength to strength. In fact, his conversion is a model for others. He called himself the chief of sinners. And we often hold Paul out as an example that the Lord can save anyone, no matter how incensed against the Lord, no matter how deep their sin. Saul was guilty of bloodshed and murder, and he never got over it. He recognized that he is not worthy of God's grace because of the suffering that he had caused. Now, I want you tonight to take this model and hold up your profession of faith, and let us ensure that you have a true conversion to the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to get to the judgment day and discover that you're not converted? That you have religion. Paul had a lot of that. He had religiosity from head to toe. He had academia from head to toe. He had Jewish ceremonies galore in his life, but he was not saved at this point. And I'm afraid there will be many that will stand at the judgment day, and they will quote their religion, but they will discover that it was not the right religion. As for zeal, Paul had so much of it, but he was not yet converted until this hour. And so I trust tonight that you will honestly before God, even just with an open mind, inquire, am I truly converted? Now, I don't want this to be a sermon of doubt and putting question marks on those who do know and love the Lord, but there just might be someone here tonight and you are deluded. You are the one who, for whatever you're resting in or trusting in, you need a guide. And I think the conversion of Saul of Tarsus is a tremendous guide. Now, we're going to do three very simple things tonight. Number one, what converts are converted from, what they are converted by, and what they are converted to. What we are converted from, converted by, and converted to. And if you can match those things up in your life, along with the Saul of Tarsus, then I think that we can rejoice together in true salvation. Firstly, what converts are converted from? Well, religion, dedication, and all that Jewish education that he had. Now, we may be surprised to see all of these things in such a sophisticated man. Men of education and enlightenment are supposed to be balanced and of good judgment concerning the welfare of others. Well, Saul of Tarsus had all of that, but he was a bloodthirsty persecutor. He had religion, but he was a madman when it came to persecuting those who dared to profess the name of the Lord Jesus. And so this man was converted from his religious prejudice. We have multiculturalism in Canada, but we still have people who are very adamant about their own particular religion. And it's one thing to say we live in a free country, we live in a country where we respect other people's religion, but when you knock their door and try to challenge them about what they are trusting in, then they can become very irate, and they can become very upset. And then comes these Christians preaching that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, that doesn't sit very well at all. And this new sect of Christianity, they were winning converts, they were taking converts away from Judaism, and of course it wasn't hard for Saul to get those letters that he was requesting from the elders. They were quite happy to see this new sect of Christianity stomped out, and so Saul was sent on his way to Damascus. And so when Saul was converted, he was converted from his prejudice. Now, let us each one be honest. When we are born into a home, a tradition, a culture, we're all born into prejudices. We're born into a certain way of thinking. And when we come to the Bible and we come to the light of the gospel, we all have to rethink. We all have to come to recognize, does my life, does my profession, does my worship match the Word of God? And of course, the big thing is idolatry. Wouldn't it be unthinkable that you would be an idolater and yet you would think that that religion would get you to heaven? But yet all idolatry, that's the very great evil commandment, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve, and thou shalt make no image or any likeness of him. And so we need our worship to be in alignment to the Word of the living God. If you care sometime, we'll not do it tonight because it's quite a study. If you look at Philippians chapter 3, you'll get the pedigree of Paul the Apostle, or Saul of Tarsus. At the end, he says he counted it but dung that he might win Christ. And he talks about his tribe, he talks about his Judaism, he talks about his self-righteousness, his works and so on, and he counted them all but dung, waste, useless, an offense to God. And that is the mark of conversion. Everyone has to realize that your self-works, your self-religion, your own ideas, man-made inventions, they're not only wrong, but they are an offense to God. And they need to be totally abandoned, totally given up, and a surrender to that one way of righteousness through the obedience, the life, the work, death, the sufferings of Christ on the cross at Calvary. And so the apostle was converted from his prejudices. He was also converted from his ambition. There's one thing that you can write over his life. He was a most ambitious man. Now, his determination didn't leave him when he became a Christian. And that's very often the case. It is very often those people who are successful in other ways before conversion, that God channels those gifts, those drives, those talents, and those what you might call entrepreneurial attitudes that could serve very well in business. And when the Lord saves such a person, he can channel that into the work of the gospel. And God did that in the life of Saul of Tarsus. He had an ambition. It wasn't just enough for him to be counted on the roll of a Pharisee. He wanted to prove that he was a leader. He was on a mission. And he was a man to be not just feared, but to be recognized as an achiever. But God saved him from his own ambition. And when sinners hear the gospel, there are those goals and ambitions that we might launch out upon as unbelievers, as, you know, promoting ourselves. We might say, I want to get into business and I want to have reach a certain place or follow in the footsteps of a father or another hero of your life. And you say, that's my goal. But when you become a Christian, Christ is your example. He is Lord of your life. And now it is what we learn here of Saul of Tarsus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was saved from his earthly, foolish ambitions. Now, if you can say, that's me, the Lord has saved me from the follies and the worldly ideas that I would embark upon, then you line up with the Apostle Paul. Now, he was also saved from hardness of heart. If ever there was a cold, clinical, religious zealot, it was the Apostle Paul. You look at those opening words here in chapter 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. If ever there was a description of a fearful man, and this being accurate, and we know it is accurate, it's not an embellished statement, breathing out threatenings. This is almost like a dragon breathing out fire and destruction. This man, Saul, was relentless. He was cruel, and his heart was greatly hardened. He didn't care about people. He didn't care about wives and children and families and all the hurt that he was causing. He arrested any that resisted or used the name of Jesus, brought them to Jerusalem, not considering their fate nor their fears. And yet, God saved this man from the hardness of his heart. There is no persecutor like a religious persecutor, and that was the Apostle Paul. And Saul, in his unconverted state, was a very hardened man. But you think of him as a Christian. What a change. He likened himself, in one reference in the New Testament, to a nurse. He dealt with new Christians, new believers, as a nurse. And there's no term that conveys tenderness and care and love. What a dramatic change in the life of this man, from threatenings, from cruelty, to a fatherly, caring pastor spirit. That's a dramatic change of heart, and that's the power of the gospel. And I hope tonight that you have been changed from me and myself and I, to serving, seeking to be a blessing, to minister unto others. We see that in the life of the apostle. And then another thing he was saved from, and that is his rebellion to Christ. The thing that he hated against the disciples of the Lord. And he's breathing out threatenings, and he's warning and seeking to discover these people that are using the name of Jesus. How much he must have hated the name of Jesus. Now, what he was doing to people was really his way of rebelling against the Lord and showing his hostility to the Lord of glory. And how the Lord, when he spoke to him, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So every attack upon a Christian is somewhat indirectly, but yet really an attack upon the Lord Jesus. Now, yet he was converted to one of the deepest devotional worshipers of the Savior. And when you read his letters, you learn how deeply he was in love with the Savior, what honor, respect, reverence he gave to the name of the Lord Jesus, always defending his deity, always defending his shepherd-like spirit. This is the power of conversion. Now, we here tonight, to our shame, have to say that before our conversion, there was in us a carnal root of hostility to the name of Jesus. That we have to confess. And we can remember times when our thoughts, and sometimes our words, and sometimes our actions and rebellions outwardly, all reflected a hatred for that man called Jesus. I remember being in a courtroom one time. This was way back in the 1970s, when there was all kinds of political turmoil in our country. And I happened to be in a courtroom where there was a Christian and he was brought to court for a public assembly offense or something, and he had no lawyer. And when he was asked, "Who is representing you?" he said, "Jesus Christ is representing me, and I stand here in his name." And as a young man, unconverted, I'm not even sure you could call me a man, I was probably close to 18 years old, still only a boy. But I remember thinking that to be very strange language, not just in a courtroom, but to be boldly spoken in a public place. I had no interest in the name of the Lord Jesus. That would have thrown me back. That would have caused me to get offside. I wouldn't go into that arena and stand along that person. And perhaps you can think of times like that in your life, in your own experience, how when someone stood up for the Lord Jesus, you were offended or withdrew or maybe even attacked. But now that you're a Christian, now that you are created anew, old things have passed away, all things have become new, you're a new creature in Christ, and he is your Lord and Savior, what a difference. What a marvelous, marvelous power of the gospel. What we're saved from is a testimony to the power of the gospel. And we can say tonight, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Would you say that tonight? If you're not saying that, you can't say you've got what Paul had. You can't say you've been changed the way Saul of Tarsus was to Paul the preacher. I hope tonight you are saying in your heart, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. I count it a great privilege to bring you the message of the gospel today. And I hope that you will be in touch. I look forward to hearing from you, to know that you're listening, to know that this message has reached your heart. And if you desire to be saved, well, please allow me to open the Bible to lead you to that portion of the scripture that will show you the way. And of course, you can pray, or I can pray with you, and let us seek the Lord. What a wonderful thing to be saved. And I point you today to the Lord Jesus as the only Redeemer of God's elect, and he will save you. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.